Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to WellFit Radio Chicago, sponsored by Momentum Fitness and Health. Let us help you find yours. My name is Jason Venkis, and I am an award-winning and published certified personal trainer, health coach, and newly certified fitness nutrition specialist. You have questions about health, nutrition, and fitness, and we have the answers. Every week, we scour the internet looking for the most commonly asked questions about fitness and health so that we can answer them right here for you. Now, tune in live every week or listen archived at any time by visiting our page right here at Blog Talk Radio or on our Facebook page where we stream it live. Check out our Facebook page, speaking of which. Just look for Momentum, Fitness, and Health and look for the little circle with the jumping guy. So come find us. And we do try to keep our time consistent. But, you know, sometimes life happens and we do have to change our times. But we try to do it every Friday, 10:30 Central Standard Time. So you can also find helpful videos while you're there, as well as at findingyourmomentum.com. So thank you for joining me today or whenever you happen to be listening. Now, we all do it. We either get bored, have a bad day at work, or are fighting with our spouse, partner, girlfriend, boyfriend, and then we reach for food to make us feel better. You know, that ice cream sundae really hits the spot, or a piece of cake, for example. That always seems to make us feel better, and candy is extremely accessible, so sometimes it's easy to go for that. Now, the same goes for greasy foods as well. But why? Why do we reach for these unhealthy foods during this time of need? Well, more than half of working adults and 47% of all Americans say that they are concerned with the amount of stress in their lives. People are experiencing stress are more likely to report hypertension, anxiety, depression, or obesity. Americans react to both work and family-related stress by engaging in unhealthy behaviors, such as comfort eating, the whole reason that we're here. Making poor diet decisions, smoking, and being inactive. So now an office worker stressing out over a project deadline may quickly down a hamburger and fries while he or she is at work, and it actually saves a lot of time. Now, in turn, that stress is now going to fuel decisions that are going to be made next. So you're going to start stressing over that poor work, that poor food decision, because you're trying to get it done fast. You're trying to eat something fast, like a burger and fries. Now, that's going to lead to even more stress. Now, an effective means of dealing with stress, suggested by Russ Newman, who's a PhD and the executive director of the APA's practice directorate, is learning how to cope with this stress. It's managing the stress to help us make better decisions. Now, everybody experiences stress, says Newman. The key is how effectively people deal with and manage that stress. People who turn to comfort food or smoking are starting a vicious cycle. Used to be me, so, you know, just to put it out there. Now, their attempts to reduce stress can actually lead to health problems that result in even more stress. It's this cycle. So to break the cycle, Newman suggests that stressed people pay attention to their behaviors and lifestyle choices. Now, additionally, he notes that although some behaviors can be particularly difficult to change, working with a psychologist can help modify those actions. Working with a health coach can as well. So, and I agree that seeking out a professional can help. We often eat a certain way to get over something immediately. We're looking for that immediate satisfaction to make us feel better. But the food that we choose often relates back to our past. Now, if you're upset about something and immediately reach for ice cream or cake, I want you to think back to a time when you were a child. When did you have these foods? When did you normally have them? So likely one of two situations, or likely two situations, not one or two, but likely both situations. Celebrations such as parties, accomplishments, birthdays, weddings, joyous occasions, things that, happy times. So now our brains are seeking out food that we associate with those joyful times to make us feel better. I once had a client ask me why she craves, and I'm probably going to butcher the name of this, tres leches cake. When she was stressed out, she would always want this specific cake when she was stressed out by either work or family or anything that's going on. And I asked her, I go, well, when did you normally have this cake? She goes, at birthday parties. We always had this particular cake at birthday parties. Those were joyous occasions. So when you're stressed out, you're going to reach for foods that you associate with joyous occasions. It's a regression. We do it all the time. Our brains always want to go back to a time where we felt better, where we felt safe, where we felt more comfort. And it's the same thing with our foods. Now, the second occasion when you would have foods like this is completely opposite. Situations when you were sad and needed cheering up. So you're being set up on both sides of the coin. So if you had a bad day and your parents want to make you feel better, your grandmother makes you want to feel better by giving you candy or giving you cake or ice cream, here, feel better. We're feeding our emotions, and that starts in childhood and continues into adulthood. So now I want you to think back, though, to a time when you were a child and you're outside playing, you're having a good time, you're playing with your friends, and your mom or your dad comes out and says, all right, hey, it's time for dinner. What was your response? Did you want to come in and eat? 9 out of 10 people are going to tell me, no, that's not, you know, they didn't want to come in and eat. They wanted to play. They wanted to continue to play outside. And that's because you're being fulfilled by fun and activity and cheer and joy and relationships as opposed to relying on food. The food that you eat wasn't your primary motivator or your source of nourishment. It wasn't your primary food. It wasn't your primary food. What we call primary food is our relationships, our emotions, our thought cycle. The way we eat for comfort during periods of stress has led us to a very, very, very vicious cycle. And it's called the emotional eating cycle. Very fitting, right? So first we have a negative emotion, feeling low, depressed, stressed, any of those emotions, or even a positive feeling or feeling of accomplishment that deserves a reward. Hey, I worked out today, so I'm going to eat half a cake. Okay, but then what happens? So we crave that cake. We crave a specific food when we're either happy or when we're sad, and then we eat it. And it's usually something not good for us. So it's either the cake or something greasy to help us feel content. This then leads us to feel guilty about what we just ate. You get these feelings of guilt. There's weight gain. There's feelings of that negative body issue or that negative body image, and we start that cycle all over again. So you eat something. You feel bad, you're feeling bad, so you eat something. You feel bad about what you eat, so then you go eat something again, and you're just feeding that continuous cycle. So how do we break this cycle? That's the magic question. How do we break this cycle? I kind of already answered a little bit when talking about joy and about finding joy in your life and doing things that you enjoy. You're not going to get rid of negative emotions in your life. It's a part of human nature. It's going to happen. Things are going to happen in your life that are going to make you sad and make you stressed out. What you need to do, though, is to control how you react to them. That's the answer. That's the key. From an everyday stress standpoint, it's important to take 20 minutes a day to yourself, to do something you love to do. It can be a walk, it could be reading a book, it could be playing a game or puzzles. Whatever it is you like to do, it needs to be 20 minutes for yourself. It could be playing with your kids, not yelling at your kids, that's just more stress. Or it could just be quiet time alone. Take a walk. Make sure it's not centered around food. Because if you reach for that food right away, then you're going to start that cycle. Try and find something to distract yourself. Give yourself 20 minutes. Now, this is especially important if you do have kids. If your kids are a constant source of stress for you, then you've got to take that 20 minutes for yourself. And it's got to be kid-free. As wonderful as they are, they can be a major source of stress. And on the flip side of that, never be afraid to play. Never be afraid to play, especially with your kids. Never be afraid to dance. So take 20 minutes away from your kids, in addition to the time you do have with your kids. But Eastern doctors, if you go see a doctor that practices Eastern medicine, the first thing that they're going to ask you is often going to be, when you stopped dancing. When did you stop having fun? When did you stop acting a little bit like a kid? This is often the starting point for your declining health. This is when the poor decisions to make, when you got caught up in the world, the poor decisions to make that you make with food, that start that cycle. So when you've stopped dancing, when you've stopped having fun, that's when your health starts to decline. So make a list of things that you can do instead of eating and keep it in your kitchen. Put that in your fridge. If you're stressed out by something, if you know that your first thing to do is to go into the kitchen, put a list of things that you can do that don't involve food in the kitchen or just before the kitchen. If you have a wall right before it, that way you can read that list and be like, well, maybe I'll go take a walk instead. Or maybe I'll go for a quick run. Or maybe I'll go lift some weights. Or maybe I'll go read, you know. Walk out of there with a glass of water and just read. So another thing you can do is ask yourself, are you really hungry? If you're just bored, if you're just stressed, again, go do something else. Have that glass of water and go have fun. All right? Remember, sometimes dehydration and thirst will manifest itself as hunger too. So that's why it's important to bring that water with you. Now, you can swap out some of your comfort foods for healthier options as well. So that's another thing that you can do. If your comfort food is sugary foods, try sweet fruits, which pretty much all of them. You can even make ice cream out of these fruits, and it's like you're getting a special treat. Now, if you like heavier, fattier foods, try something like an avocado, which is a bit heavier. You can mix that with a little bit of maple syrup, as well as some cocoa powder, and you can make a pudding out of it. Won't even notice that it's avocado, and it's going to be a bit heavier for you. If you are looking for something salty or crunchy, try cucumbers with a bit of lemon juice and a pinch of salt. Tastes just like salt and vinegar potato chips. So those are some options for you, just to swap out some of those comfort foods for something healthier. Now, complete elimination may not necessarily be the answer either. So often we do find that when we take a comfort food away from someone, they tend to binge on it later. So you might be okay for a couple of weeks or, a couple of days, and then they end up binging on it later, eating an entire box of donuts. So keep comfort food out of the house, though, so that you at least have to travel for it. I'm not saying cut it out completely. Just don't keep it in the house. So if you have to go to the store, you go to the store. You really have to decide whether or not you want it. Or practice portion control. So if you need help with portion control, check out our Facebook page, and there's a little picture that shows you what portion sizes really, really, really look like. Anything from meat to dairy to vegetables and oils as well. Or you can stop by our studio, and we'll give you a paper copy of it too. So when it comes to comfort foods, that aren't always healthy, like fattening desserts. Brian Wasenick, who is a PhD and director of the Food and Brand Lab at the University of Illinois, offers this piece of information. Your memory of a food peaks after about 4 bites. So if you only have those bites, a week later, you're going to recall it It's just a good experience than if you had polished off the entire thing. So if you only have 4 bites of a piece of cake instead of the whole thing, your brain is going to remember it exactly the same way. So have a few bites of cheesecake, then call it quits, put it back, and you'll get equal the pleasure with lower the cost. The best thing you can do is recognize when you are succumbing to emotional eating by identifying it. Identify and change the way you react to it. There is a psychology to eating that many seem to miss. Even health and fitness professionals miss out on psychology. Yes, we all know that we need to eat healthier. We all know that. The information is everywhere, but it's getting past certain barriers. Breaking down those barriers, whether you're eating for comfort or whether you're eating for joy, but breaking down those barriers and realizing the psychology of eating. You know, even with addiction to drugs, the focus has really turned to emotional cycles. And this is from PsychCentral.com. Although often overlooked, emotional trauma lies at the heart of many types of addiction. Our recognition of trauma as a root cause of addiction is not new. It's actually, since the 1970s, treatment professionals have understood the role of trauma in the development of substance abuse disorders and relapse, and the same goes for food. But now in recent years, there has been a welcomed resurgence in awareness and treatment of trauma as a co-occurring disorder. At our health fair that we just had in McCook, we had an addiction specialist come in, and he talked a lot about the emotional cycle that really, really pushes people towards addiction. It's not so much the chemical dependency, as it is the emotional dependency, and it's no different with food. Food and drugs, I mean, sugar works the same way on the brain as cocaine does. So it's no different with food, and it's no different with drugs. They're the same. These things affect our bodies in a certain way. So it's all about understanding what is causing or driving you towards those foods and being able to overcome that and react to it differently. Now, Should you need help with emotional eating or stress eating, we do have a health coaching program that talks about that, that can help with that. We do talk about making the right choices and incorporating them in slowly, but we do talk about the psychology of food and really break down those barriers for each person as to what is causing them to make poor choices with their food when they know they should be making better choices. So visit us at findingyourmomentum.com, and you can arrange a free health history assessment so that we can get you started on that path to breaking down the barriers to emotional eating. So join me next week on WellFit Radio Chicago as we talk about core strength and what it means for your running speed. So until then, I hope you can find your momentum.
Greatest man.